I say Joe Flacco will be your week one starter, should be your week one starter. Any of the histrionics, any of the craziness, I think that's gone. I do think there is there's something to be said for Dillon Gabriel and Shedeur Sanders, but if it were to click into where I'm at, it should fall in where Joe's a starter. We'll see where Kenny Pickett is after the injury, which we'll find out probably later on today. A little bit more information about that, obviously. They were off yesterday. They put the pads on today. We heard that from Adam Schefter about the injury with Kenny Pickett. So we'll hear more about that later on today. But if it's of any significance, and a hamstring is a significant enough injury where you don't want to hurry it back because then you can re-aggravate things, then you're out for even longer, take your time. I ain't got nothing. I know I've had plenty against Kenny Pickett in the past. I got nothing against Kenny Pickett now. If he goes out there and he plays well, he goes out there and he plays well. But I'm in no hurry to bring him back and hurry up a bad situation or anything like that. I think it puts more on Dillon Gabriel. It puts more on Shedeur Sanders. They both have an opportunity to be the main backup here now. We'll see what they do there. But when it comes to just common sense, calming it down, trying to start the season off on the right foot, to me, and you may disagree, it should be Joe Flacco who's the starter, and this thing should be sewn up already.
Yeah, I don't know.
If you disagree, fine. I mean, let me have it.
No, it seems like me and you have kind of said this for a while. However, we've gotten some pushback from some of those that are like, well, what about Shedeur? What if he's Jaden Daniels? What if, I don't hear much about that from Dillon Gabriel, but obviously Dillon Gabriel is taken ahead of Shedeur. We continue to always be confronted with that reality. So I don't think either of us are like, no, by any means necessary, Shedeur or Dillon Gabriel can't start week one, but we're like a special set of circumstances would have to happen for that, and it would start out with Shedeur or Dillon being so amazing and spectacular that we could not ignore their presence. And I don't know how we're going to see that considering they're buried. They've been buried.
It's still day two and day three picks, guys. The whole what if they're Jaden Daniels or what? Yeah, what if they're not? Because more than likely they're not going to be.
Yeah, odds are against it.
Like big time. You got to understand. People bring up these examples because they're the ones that we remember. You know, there's plenty of people who tried to start their own companies that are not named Bill Gates and Steve Jobs. You don't remember them. You don't know who they are because they're all losers in your eyes. So they tried to start their own companies out of their garages, and they ended up flopping like millions and millions of other people. But, well, what if you could be Steve Jobs, or what if you could be Bill Gates, or what if you could be God knows who? What if they're Jaden Daniels? Yeah, you don't bring up the other guys because you don't remember them. You don't remember fifth-round guys or third-round guys. That doesn't really – but usually it goes that way. So if you're going to say, well, what if they're Jaden Daniels? Okay, well, I guess you could always do what-if-ism, but I could always say, hey, what's the hurry here? What hurry am I in to put Shedeur Sanders or Dillon Gabriel out there? I'm in no hurry to put them out there. Why must I hurry this? Well, because you guys want something to see? I want them to be out there on their best foot that they possibly can be. I can't keep training wheels on them forever. I understand that. But damn, it is a 18-week season with 17 games in the thing.
Thank you. The season's never been longer. And that December comes around, and you know me. I've been talking about, granted, we had a great run 2 years ago. Last year, I was like, I am so bored by the NFL. It seems like all the playoff teams are pretty much cemented, that we're just playing out of string. There's so much time. There's so much time to figure that out later in the year. I agree with you. I don't see the rush, and I don't think it's a scenario where why would the Browns, you know, hold back, you know, this enthusiasm on maybe they just think that, you know, where they took these guys, they're that far away. They're not close enough to being being legitimate factors in the football season, at least in the early portion of it.
Now, I think that Joe could do what's maybe the best thing for everybody, because the biggest argument now is who's going to be the backup. That's who you're watching. And the backup in Cleveland's always going to be a very popular, until we find our franchise quarterback, the backup in Cleveland's going to be a very popular person. Shedeur has an opportunity here to be the main backup. He does have that. You can't say he doesn't. I would say Dillon's certainly the leader, but Shedeur could go out there in these three preseason games or in the joint practices, start throwing the football around, looking good. I know he looked good the other day. He could start looking good. The offense could start to click with him. He's got the body size that you would want. He's got the type of temperament, the type of quarterback that Kevin Stefanski would want. I know that it fell to him in the fifth round instead of them going out and getting the guy, and that would probably mean that they went out and they got Dillon Gabriel. They wanted him, and they got him, so that would still put Dillon ahead of him as of this morning. But there's an opportunity now for Shador to be that primary backup and be the guy that comes in. Eventually, you would assume, when the wheels get shaky with Joe Flacco. And I don't know when that point comes. I'm not waiting for the first 6 weeks. If he looks like he sucks against the Ravens in week two, then fine. I'll open up that conversation for week three. I don't care about that. The first six games doesn't matter as much to me as it might matter to anybody else. I just want to see the veteran start the season off, get this thing going the right way, let Dillon, let Shador stand on the sidelines, see what an NFL game is really like at full speed with ones-on-ones, and then maybe it comes to them at some point if Joe's not able to carry it. Because you might get to a point where, yeah, Joe's not doing so great, and people are going to be groaning, and people are going to be really wanting to see Shador Sanders or Dillon Gabriel. Probably not as much as you know who on that Thursday night against the Jets, but they're probably going to want to see him, and I got no problem putting them in the right position and waiting on that. And I don't think that anybody should have a problem with it either, because the whole Jaden Daniels argument to me, it is the exception. It's not normally the rule. And that is the end of that. Go ahead. Sorry.
Training camp coverage powered by Genesee Brewing Company and Window Nation.
All right. I don't like to play the audio too terribly much from this show. Not that I got anything against the guy. It's just every time we take a young quarterback, he always seems to have a big conversation piece about this guy, a lot of opinions about the guy, and I think it turns into that guy's review show. However, there was a theory that was shared last week that I have to play for everybody because people thought it was nuts. Guys, I don't think it's that nuts. Hit it.
This is the worst kept secret in the South. Haslam, Jimmy, owner of the Browns, huge SEC Tennessee booster, leans heavily on the Manning family. Arch Manning is part of the Manning family. And this is where Nick Saban comes in. Saban is incredibly close to not only Jimmy Haslam, but Saban's close to the Manning family as well. And so Saban, if he could land, I'm told, a top quarterback like Harbaugh going to the Chargers for Herbert, he would take a phone call for the NFL. And there are two teams guaranteed to be awful this year in the NFL, Cleveland and the Saints. Nick Saban has coached in Cleveland with the Browns under the Belichick staff, and he coached at LSU. This is not a conspiracy theory. Haslam's circle of trust, according to an article in The Athletic last year, is the Manning family and Jimmy Sexton and Bill Parcells. Sexton is Nick Saban's agent.
Audio courtesy FS1. Immediately people start rolling their eyes. Guys, they're obsessed with finding a franchise quarterback. They're obsessed with doing what they need to do to find a franchise quarterback. None of that is crazy. None of what he says is crazy.
Well, the Nick Saban part is crazy.
I don't think that that's crazy either. Why is that crazy?
They'll be 74 next year. What's that guy doing with the price of fish? 74-year-old guy who's never had any success in the NFL.
74 is the new 44.
You want that guy to be the head coach? I'm not saying you, but like maybe you would. I don't know. Would you want
Nick Saban to be the head coach of the Browns?
Would you have taken Belichick?
Would I?
Because when we talked about Belichick, felt like nobody was on my side on that.
No, you know what? You know what? I would have taken Belichick. I think that now we the whole Jordan Hudson thing is in our heads.
Okay.
So I'm trying to be honest with you. I got to go back to back then and would have said, like, hey, if they would have moved on with Kevin Stefanski, would you have taken Bill Belichick? Like, yeah, I would have taken Bill Belichick. I would have been open to it.
Well, it just seemed like when I brought up any prospects of Belichick, like, bailing on what was going on at North Carolina for an NFL job, people were like, oh my God, Belichick is washed up. And it's just so funny to me that Belichick is the guy that's clearly had the unbelievable all-time, you know, head coaching success in the league we're talking about. Nick Saban's had none of that. And would there be a genuine excitement about him taking over at age 74, the Browns?
I don't know how people wouldn't be excited about Nick Saban. And if it were, this is the scenario that plays out. Nick Saban ain't coming here without Arch Manning, right? According to what that guy, what Colin Cowherd just said.
Now, is
audio
that
courtesy FS1, right?
Is that Arch Manning after this coming season or after 2 years?
I would imagine it'd be this coming season.
Because remember,
you got two first round picks for a reason this year.
Yeah, but wasn't all the talk about he's no way he's coming out after this year?
then maybe that's why that they position themselves there. I still think that that's going to be a tough sell.
But do I got to wait for Saban to be 75?
You might have to wait for Saban to be 75. 75 is the new 45.
Well, I got bad news for you on the Saban-Belichick age thing, right? It doesn't have Saban's actual birthday, but he was born in 1951 and Bill Belichick was born in 1952. So Saban's actually older.
So Belichick's a spry chicken in comparison.
And he's got the 24-year-old around there,
Oh, that's going to make him how much younger?
That makes him 45.
I don't know. Miss Terry, though, has done a nice job.
Nick Saban's got Miss Terry with him, and she is a calming presence.
Does he eat the same chicken salad sandwich every day or something for 40 years?
Oatmeal pies. He won't say the whole name because he knows better. He knows his players well. He ain't saying that whole name. He has the cup of coffee and two oatmeal pies every single day. That's a football guy right there. You tell me you wouldn't take Nick Saban just because he's old?
No, what I'm saying is I wanted Belichick at some point, and everyone's like, he's too old. But then you can't say Nick Saban. You can't say you'd want Nick Saban, but Belichick's too old.
I would have been a little bit questioning of it because I think we saw what Belichick was without the greatest quarterback of all time, and people were lining up to go after him. Plus some of the things that he had done, I thought the Matt Patricia thing was inexcusable. When he put him as an offensive coordinator, when you have a rookie quarterback or a second-year quarterback, I should say, I thought that that was an inexcusable mistake personally. And I thought he set his own team up for failure, talking about Belichick. Yeah. So that would have been a thing where if they would have taken Bill Belichick going into last year, and I've been like, hey, it's Bill Belichick. You're like, he's a great coach. We'll see how it works. I think I'll do the same with Nick Saban. And I don't have the added plus of he did this to ruin his own franchise. He did that to get in the way of his own franchise. I think Saban is as obsessed with winning as anybody would find. How could he not listen to that sort of offer? If the Browns end up being in that position and everything that we know is true, where they are obsessed with finding a franchise quarterback and they were willing to go just bonkers when it comes to the Mannings, when it comes to putting Arch in the right position, not only are we going to put Arch in the right position, we're going to get one of the two greatest coaches of all time. And I know he wasn't very good in the NFL the first time around, but he'll always say he didn't have his quarterback. Now he has his quarterback. How can we set this thing off on the right foot with you, with somebody you trust? And then when Nick's done, say give Nick 3 years. Say 78, 77 years old by the end of it. Nick's there for 3 years, get you started off in the right direction, and then we pick the next coach for you, as we do with everybody. It seems bizarre to say it, because as of right now, on July 28th, it is bizarre to say it. But I think this could make a lot of sense come in January.